And we have the wonderful privilege of my doctor, my physical doctor, Dr. Cassie du Plessis. So one of our spiritual leaders, a pillar in our community. Really, I think one of the guys that we can look up to. And I know that Cassie doesn't just come here speaking of his own accord. I know that he's been seeking the Lord in this matter. And Father, just thank you that we have the time this morning, Lord, to listen to what it is that you are saying through Cassie, Father. And I pray that we'd receive the message. And Father, that you'd empower the one that is ministering to us this morning, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Shona. Dis 'n voorreg om julle almal hier te hê. Die nellers, as ek so kan sê. Lekker om hulle te hê. It's a privilege to be together. I really have such a sense that we need to wait for the Lord, wait upon the Lord for a moment. So if we can just close our eyes. Like a mighty rushing wind, you once came, O God, Lord of the eternities, and you shook the building where the early believers were gathered. Won't you shake us, Lord? O God, you dwell in unapproachable light, yet ministering right here in this hall this morning. Amazing, amazing God, amazing God. You who take the little that we bring and you feed many. Amazing, amazing God. Lord, we just turn our eyes, our hearts, our everything that we can, looking to be ignited, looking to draw from. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, come and fill this atmosphere. Your glory is what our hearts long for, to be overcome. Spirit and truth, Lord, we don't want to play the game. We don't want to talk the talk, but have nothing of substance there where it matters. Jesus, Father, pray that today will mark a new walk. Today will make a difference. We'll have a before and an after. In your name, Jesus, we pray. You know that there were two sons of Aaron, who died before the Lord because they brought strange fire. That's what the Bible says. And I'm so aware that if the fire that we bring, I'm talking like, maybe it's a bit abstract, it's spiritual truth, but the fire that we bring, it has to be God's fire. We have to find that fire. And I'm really contending for that thing this morning. Is to find that. It's a wave in the spirit. There's a stream. There's a thing. We need to strike it. We need to find it. And I want us collectively to try and touch that, to find that. There's a witness when you find it. So let's really... as I'm speaking, don't be too distracted. I'm giving it my best shot not to be a distraction. But if there are things which distract you, maybe a mannerism, a choice of words or so, go past and touch the person behind. Try and reach into the spirit behind. Because God, I really and truly believe what I'm bringing comes from the Spirit of God in some way. I do believe it. Let's really try and find that. Amen. So the topic for the preach this morning is house of praise. House of praise. How we can become or becoming a house of praise. So I want to launch off in this way and say, who wants to be like Jesus? Who wants to be with Jesus? You know, it's written of Jesus that he will declare the praises of God in the midst of the worshiping congregation. Did you know that? It's like Jesus' work. He says, I'm not ashamed to call them, these guys, I'm not ashamed to call them my brothers, and I will declare the name of God in their midst. Every time when we get together as brothers of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and we get together to bring praises, Christ comes to declare the name of God, and we can pick it up. We can tune into that. But Jesus, we know, is faithful to his word. And if you want to be like Jesus, and if you want to be with Jesus, if we want to do that, we've got to understand how to pick up on the praise of God. We have to be able to somehow declare the name of God. Declaring the name of God, other words for that would be, is like, we say who God is and what he is doing. It's something we have to pick up. You know, we spoke a little bit a while ago. We spoke on worshiping God in spirit and truth. And the truth component would be, are we really picking up on what God is saying? It's like, are we truly there? Are we really before the throne? Like, really? By the blood that qualifies? But do we access? Do we minister? And is it according to who God really is, speaking what God really is doing? Paul wrote, he said, we could actually say things about God which he's not doing. We would be liars, saying God is doing this or that, and it's not the truth. But there are things which God is doing. And there are things which God is saying. And the question is, can we pick it up? That would be truth. And God wants us to worship and declare his name, like Jesus. We know Jesus is declaring the Father in truth. But he wants to make us that. And I can honestly say, I believe we've struck some things this morning. I do believe it. But there's more. And the question is how we can go into the more. Now, I've got good news and bad news this morning. All right? And the question is, what news do you want first? The good news or the bad news? Bad news. All right, let me give bad news. The bad news is Jesus is not back yet. And until he's physically back here on earth, we on earth, the people on earth, along with the devil on earth, will be causing tears on earth. The reality is he's not back yet. There will be more tears to follow. The good news is God is good. And in the end, good ones. All right? The bad news is you will have to deny yourself. For us to be a house of praise, we will have to deny ourselves. We will have to kill grumbling. We will have to kill complaining. We will have to kill selfishness. We will have to kill every form of self-centered living if we want to be that. Death will be here. The good news is, in every situation here on earth, in every situation here on earth, there will be something good to give thanks for. We cannot think of a situation, as long as God is on the earth, there will not be a situation, the worst that we can think of, the worst, has got something we can be grateful for. The bad news is, we can completely miss the goodness of God in this life if we focus on the bad news. We will completely dwarf God if we focus on what is wrong. The good news is we can do it to the bad as well. If we are able to pick out who God is and what he's doing in every situation, we will dwarf the reality of evil in our lives. We will overshadow it. That's good news. Amen? It's very good news. So, this morning, the question obviously is, what is a house of praise? Okay? And I've got 3 points which I would just like to lift up for us. What is a house of praise? The first thing that I would say, a house of praise, i.e. a people that will be a house. You know we're the house, all right? A house of praise is a people who pick their prison. Write that down if you've got a writing device. Try and remember, make a note. A house of praise is a people who pick their prison. What do I mean with that? The world or our circumstances or the devil says, we'll pick your prison for you. We will determine the things that hold you back. A believer says,
since we turn to your stronghold, the prisoners of hope. We are able to pick a prison of hope. Are you aware of that? Zechariah. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little. But in Zechariah, it says, return to the stronghold. 9:12. Return to your stronghold. It's a choice that we have. We can decide, I'm going to be in a prison of hope, or I am going to be in a prison of my circumstances. You remember the good news and the bad news that I was mentioning here at the beginning? Well, the reality is every one of those examples comes from everyday life. We can choose in our now circumstances, the circumstances that you find yourself, I find myself in. We can pick out the sad story, or we can pick out the glad story. It is your choice. It's my choice. But we have got an opportunity to govern our thoughts, to take captive the negativity. It doesn't say the bad isn't there. It will remain there. But it does mean that I am not going to allow myself to be governed by the bad that the devil and circumstances have put upon me. It doesn't have to be our prison. The Bible is full of beautiful examples of prisons that were shaken when people could lift their eyes to God. Amen? I'm thinking of Joseph, and he was in a prison, but he was able to lift his eyes to the promise keeper, right? He was able to live from a reality that made such a difference in his prison, and his prison became the place of promotion. I'm thinking of Daniel's friends. They were in a prison of their circumstances. They were thrown there into a prison of fire. There were three men. There were three men bound that went into the fire. But they were able, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the unfairness, they were able to look up. And they were four, and they were not bound. And they were in the fire. And their prison became a place of promotion. Their prison became a place of an encounter. And our prisons can be exactly the same. I'm thinking of Paul and Silas. They were in prison. Their prison was unfair, but they made it beautiful by praising and lifting the name of the fair one. Isn't that beautiful? There's Paul and Silas here. They are there so unfair, but the other people who are there, fairly, may I say, were listening to them in the midst of the unfairness, becoming a house of praise, and physically, first spiritually, but then also physically, the prison was shaken. It was a place of reaching out. A jailer got salvation. A city was reached. But the question is, in you and my life, are we able, like Paul and Silas, to tap into the reality? That is the question. Holy Spirit wants to help us. God wants to help us. But we need to give ourselves. Amen? We need to pick up prisons. And it's key that we actually do that. You know, grumbling is something that comes naturally. Yeah, you don't have to be very old to know how to grumble. Okay, I was looking at Miss Sean. I was looking at Sean and Olivia this morning. She was grumbling. She can't even speak, but she's grumbling. Okay? This is unfair. I want to climb. My job is climbing. I mean, that's the body language. It's natural, according to the flesh. The question is, can we tap into the spiritual natural that God has opened up for us? Because that is where the goal is. Can you, in your prison, praise? Can I? And it's not something which I think is just going to be a switch, but it starts with a switch. It starts with a choice. It starts with lifting our hands to the one who's able to pick us up. Lifting our hands to the Spirit that will raise us into that praise, into that place of perpetual. You ever hear in a love song? Yeah? Look at this. Listen to this scripture. Philippians 2 says the following: do all things without grumbling or questioning. Some of the translations would say without complaining. Do all things without that. Dragging your feet, this is a bad Monday, Tuesday, whatever day I'm at, and this is a bad country, and this is a bad job, and this is a bad marriage, and these are bad children, and this is like, hey, nothing of that is in that verse. Nothing of that is what we were called to as believers, I know that there might be difficulties. There is a devil and there is a fallen group of people around us. I understand that. But we have a choice and an instruction. Don't grumble. Let's read the rest. That you may be blameless and innocent. Some translations would call that innocent harmless. What does that mean? It means if we are grumbling, we cause harm, further harm. We don't know. And we are to blame if we grumble. Once we're discovered. So, what God is for us is that we will be children without blemish, in this twisted, in this, and you said it was giving about this, and we shine as lights in the world, it's for every one of us. But in order to shine, we have to understand the focusing on God, finding God, choosing the prison. Amen? Is that good?
Yeah.
Huh? Come on. We can choose our prison. That's good news. You're going to be in prison in any case, but at least you can choose. All right, the second thing. What is a house of praise? A house of praise is a people who pick their prison. The second thing, a house of praise is a people who point to God. What about God? The presence of God and the power of God. All right? We want to be a people who are able to say, my God is with me. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. My God is able. His power is sufficient. His desire is for me. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to save. My family, he wants to deliver. My God is present in my situation because it is written. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never, ever, ever. And so for us, our ability to be a house of praise will be directly related to our ability to point to God, to a prayer answering God. Now, when we say a people of praise, one of the concepts I want to lift up is the concept of the tabernacle of David. Okay, so let me break it down. Tabernacle is another word for tent. Okay, it's like, it's not a big deal. It's a tent. Okay? At the time when David was bringing back the ark, he pitched a tent. Okay, so he's bringing the ark of the presence, bringing it back to Jerusalem. He pitched a tent. It was not the original tent, can I just say? So when David pitched his tent, there were two tents, the tent of Moses and the tent of David. The tent of Moses, they were, you know that they were sections and sacrifice and all kinds of things. Who knows that? Tent of Moses. The tabernacle of David. Okay, it seems like not many people know that. Okay, here it is. Okay, the tent of David was without the presence, but they continued with the sacrifice. Something like 20 years. It's long. Long. So here's it. It's sacrifice, it's everything, the bread, the fire, the burnt lamps, and everything. But inside, there's nothing. It's empty. And the strange thing is, when David brings back the ark, he doesn't put it in a tent. Now, all the symbolism which the Lord has for that, I'm not sure. But David goes and pitches the second tent in Jerusalem. And he says, this is the place. Specific place, specific way. But the point is, David's tent is a very simple tent. And it's just surrounding one thing. It's praising God. The other, he employs more than 8,000 people full-time to minister.
Yeah.
At the tent. 8,000. Dachana.
Yeah.
Singing. That's the tabernacle of David. It is a glorious place. It is something where all the time, so these guys, thousands of them, they have been paid by the kingdom, right? The kingdom pays everything that's needed for them just to do this. Praising God. Imagine what spiritual power was released in them.
Yeah.
Imagine what a place to be. Imagine. This put the martyr will die, but I hope to see it. But I call it a darkness. But the tabernacle of David, at some stage, Solomon builds the temple and the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David ceases to exist in that form. They start praising in the temple. The point is, God starts speaking and he says, I want to restore something. What is God restoring? End time restoration. Tabernacle of David. Okay, let's have a look at that. So, remember we still, what is the house of praise? People who point to God. Alright, so the tabernacle of David is prophesying in Amos 9, and it says the following. In that day, I will raise up the booth or tabernacle of David, the tent of David, that is fallen, and I will repair its breaches. Don't want to stick in this. I will raise it up and rebuild it as in the days old. It is the Lord speaking prophetically. He says, this is what I will do. Okay? So here's something which probably has got a spiritual significance. I will raise up that thing. Praise and worship all the time. Unto the beauty of God. All right. Paul that is preaching in Acts, he quotes this. He says, after this, it is written, after this I will return. I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it. That, and then it gives an intent, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes all these things. Here is it. We need to understand. Us to be a house of praise, some place, a spiritual place for God, where it flows praises all the time, is a work and desire of God. It is something that He's doing. Okay? He will build it. The Lord is busy building it. We are not the tabernacle. It's all over the earth, but we are part of it. And what we can know is that we can give ourselves to an eternal praising like David. We will be part of this beauty so that people will be reached. Our ability to reach Gentiles has a strong link here to our ability to praise. Can you let it work? I will repair David's tent so that the Gentiles will be reached. Can you see it? Our power, our witness, will be directly related to our participation in praising the Lord. It's a weapon. It is a source. It's something that enables. Just a second, see why I script them. I'm going to kind of skip here. The long and the short is, God wants to bring us into this place of praise, into this treasure which David discovered. The third thing. And this is, I want to link to the second, but a house of praise is a people who understand ability. I know it sounds close to the second, but hear me out. A people who understand ability is, you understand your own ability and the Lord's ability. I want to stop here for a moment and bring tell of a testimony. When I was at university, at some stage, I was praying to the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, your word says we can do nothing without you. But it doesn't feel like that. I do just what I like, and it seems like it's going well. So I wanted to study this, and I got in. I wanted to participate in the sport, and it seems to be going well. I wanted to have this, whatever, recognition or opportunities, and it seems like it's just opening up. But the Bible says, and this is, I'm praying, right? The Bible says, blessed are those who know how dependent they are. In Matthew 5, there's especially in the Afrikaans translation, it says, but I felt like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like I need you at all. I can do this, and it seems like the people around me can do this by ourselves. I'm struggling with this. This is my prayer. And I said, Lord, I actually don't want to go to class this morning. You need to help me. I was praying. I was really seeking the Lord. Nothing happened. At some stage, I went to class. I think I missed the first one. I can't remember. But the bottom line is, I was seriously seeking the Lord. Made an amends. About 3-4 months afterwards. Maybe even 2-3 months. the wheels started coming off in a major way. It's like, later it was like, I felt like, can I not do anything right? It's like, I remember at some stage, it was so difficult. It was like I'm not getting it, nothing that I'm doing. Can I just say, I forgot my prayer, all right? So I'm just here trying to figure out what my life is. At some stage, but I'm depressed by the amount of negativity. And so and I was staying in a house at that stage, looking after a house with my accommodation, and I said, well, I need some milk, I'm just gonna drive to the shop. And by that time my car had burnt down. There were a number of things where my future was uncertain, I was losing friends, it was just like my health wasn't great. I was just like, oh, I need to go and buy some more. So I'm getting onto my bicycle, it's my replacement car. So I'm getting onto my bicycle, I'm going to just, it's not far, I can, it's. And again, as I get onto the bicycle, my chain breaks. And I'm thinking like, this cannot be real. I mean like, can nothing go right? My bicycle chain has never broken. I'm not doing anything, I'm just getting onto my bicycle, you know? It's just like, and slowly, it started dawning on me. Lord, I need you. Like, I really, really need you. And I don't think the work is finished. Nearly 20 years down the line. It's more than 20 years down the line. I don't think the work is finished. But in a much greater way, I'm so persuaded of my inability to do anything. Never mind even anything good. I cannot do it. I cannot contribute in a preach this morning if there's no grace. I cannot find the Lord. I cannot sing a song. I cannot be a blessing. I cannot be a husband. I cannot do my job. I cannot even be healthy or walk or work. But it's like, it's just this utter inability to produce anything of value. But you know what? Except that it is very good or bad, depending on how you look at it, for my pride. It is so liberating in my trusting the Lord. It does me so much good. It's freedom. It's actually a weight that is stripped. And so our house of praise has all to do about people who recognize ability, their own inability, and God's overwhelming ability to take any of us, any broken, any. It's like He is so able to take dust and make it a man. He's able to take the ashes and produce something beautiful. He's able. He's like, have you seen where people take like some reject stuff and they make it artwork? Yeah, you know? Yeah, the people who are really good with art, they would take and then they make something. You think, oh, I want that in my house. You know? Some people, they would go to a scrapyard and they would pick up things. And when you get to their house, you think like, wow, this is beautiful. This is like, it so adds to the environment and the atmosphere. And like, but if that is done by some people who've got a skill to do it, how much more our God, who is able to take something broken and reject and produce something. And the people of praise are people who are able to remember and declare that. See, my God is able to take this piece of whatever you describe yourself, failure, and He's able to use it. He's able to heal. He's able to restore. He's able. What is the truth about this church this morning? God is able to make us a recognized force in the earth. He's able. Why not? He's able to impact our entire society through the Church of God in 2021. He is able to change a country. He is able to change a nation. He is able. Our God is able. Even if He doesn't do it right now, we will praise Him for His ability. We will be confident in His ability. We will cry out for His ability. And that is a house of praise. So this morning, obviously the question is not our ability. The question is, do we want to proclaim the ability of God? That's the invitation. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to proclaim it. That's where I'm going to be found. I'm going to declare the name of my Father in the midst of the congregation. Do you want to? So I want us to do this ending off in a little bit, in a slightly different way. Psalm 149 says that the praises is a weapon. Let the high praise of God be in their throats, two-edged sword in their hands. It speaks of believers. And then it says to bind kings. And this morning, as we reach into God, what we are reaching for is ability to bring to naught the works of the devil. Okay? It is something where you bind, where you destroy, where you bring to some extent the vengeance of God. David was writing this in the context of natural people. We are not here to kill you, some natural people. We are here to destroy the works of the devil, right? Are we on the same page? Or are you on a different page? Are we on the same page, right? We are here to proclaim the praises of God in a way that evil cannot operate. Okay? And I want us to end this time off in the following way. In a time of personal prayer together. What do I mean with that? I want every one of us right now to be praying to God himself, for himself. If you want to throw out for one or two people around you, do it. But first for yourself. So I'm going to lead us, and we're going to do the following. I'm going to say, whatever statement, Lord, we want to be with you. And then you, and then I'm going to keep quiet. Then us, in our personal capacity, will be saying something like, yes, Lord, that's exactly what I want to be. Or that's true. Or maybe you say, Lord, I don't understand that necessarily. Or what? Like, be in truth concerning that. But I'm going to throw out a few one-liners. All right? And as I do that, you in your personal capacity, meet business with the Lord. All right? So bring the yes. Bring the amen. Let it, whatever that thing is, be done to me. Or I want to. Or can we do that? All right? So it is us. If no one is praying for you, it's your own fault. All right? Because you have to pray for you this morning. All right? Maybe there's a little bit of time of ministry afterwards, a little bit different. But I want, this is between you and the Lord. Can we do that? Can we daily?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You are allowed to stand, to kneel, to sit, to lie, do whatever you want, as long as you don't distract someone. But press into this thing of personal to the Lord. Right. So, Lord Jesus, as we turn to you, I want to focus on the right reality. Help us with the Holy Spirit. Help us. Help me. Focus on the right reality. I want to focus. I don't want to be drawn down. Father, I want to drown the voice of grumbling in my life. Oh Lord God, we want to house the presence of God. We want to be those where you inhabit our praises. We want to house your presence. Lord, we want to, along with Jesus, declare the praises of our Father. Like right there where Jesus is, we want to be there declaring the praises of God. Lord, I want to turn every prison into praise. I want us to keep in this attitude of prayer, but there might be some people here this morning where you have never formally told the Lord, my life is yours, completely yours. I surrender to you. I cannot save myself. I need you. And I want to say it to you, Lord Jesus. If you have never said it like that, if you've never said, here's my life, I give everything to you. Or maybe you are here this morning and you have said it, but you sort of lived as if you've forgotten it. And you want to say it again. Maybe you could just raise your hand in a way that I can see it. And I just want us to be trusting for that today. I'll just lead us in prayer. Lord, we just want to come and say, here are these lives. Here is my life. Here is my life. Let it be. Just a prayer song. All for you. Take my life. And give it. Take my life. Lord, every person lifting their hands. Lord, I pray right now, you will take those hands, Lord. You will lay hold of those lives, Lord. You will embrace those souls, Lord. I pray that this morning there will be a breakthrough in every prison. Lord, I pray that this morning there will be an empowering by the Spirit. Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, there will be a before and an after because of God responding to the help cry of an individual. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are a real God, that you are a living God, that you are a present God. We bless your name. Take our lives with the Lord. Consecrate. Lord, to you. Take our moments and our days. Oh, Lord, let them sing the song, resonate in eternal praise. Trust you, Jesus. Amen. I want those who respond that if you could maybe just speak to someone whom you recognize as a leader, maybe a community leader, one of the elders or so. We just make sure that questions are answered. So. If there's something that you still want to pray through or talk through yourself, before we get that. So if you can do that.